Welcome to Winning STL, where we have conversations about how St. Louis can best compete and win in the battle for talent, jobs, growth, and equity. Winning STL is presented by Purina, who creates richer lives for pets and the people who love them, and is proudly called St. Louis home since 1894. Joining me today is Michael McMillan, President and CEO of the Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis. Michael, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Michael, what should people know about the Urban League? Who do you serve? I mean, people probably have an idea, but they might not know. So tell us.
Well, certainly. So the Urban League has been a part of the fabric of St. Louis for 107 years. We are a part of a national network of almost 100 Urban Leagues across America, founded in New York by blacks and whites coming together to try to improve race relations for everyone and make America a great melting pot where everyone has a chance to be a part of success and live the American dream. And we were created here in St. Louis to do just that. We're very proud of the fact that we're the number one urban league in the United States right here in St. Louis.
Wow.
And anytime St. Louis can be the number one of anything in the country,
right,
I think that's something that we all take pride in, especially native St. Louisans. So we're very proud of that distinction. We work hard to keep it. We have 25 different locations around the region that serve over 200,000 people every single year now, and 60 different programs that are basically designed to help you improve your life, give you the resources to be successful, and then take properties and areas that have been run down and without resources and provide resources, opportunity, hope, vision, and stability, and do that as much as we can for as many as we can throughout the region.
So we're going to get into some of the specifics of that, but in terms of your path to this role, you, as you mentioned, you're from here. You were an extremely young, maybe the youngest alderman, I think, that
yes,
St. Louis has had. So you got a little window into how politics really works in the city. I know you've done some volunteering with the Urban League,
yes,
but what got you to where you are today? Why this path?
You know, when I was about 10 years old, I was, like most young people, very curious about things. And so I would see homeless people or people that didn't have jobs, didn't have the opportunity to take care of themselves. And I started asking my family and teachers and the rest, well, why are some people homeless? And why do some people not have resources? And why can't some people afford to do this or that or the other? And my late uncle, Colonel Clifton Gates, who had been chairman of the board of directors of the Urban League, told me, he said, Mike, the number one thing that you could do is actually join the Urban League, get involved, volunteer, and be a part of that organization when you get old enough, because they do more for people in need than anybody in this country. And so literally on my 16th birthday, I joined the Urban League, and I've been a part of it ever since. And it's been the best thing that I've ever done from a charitable, civic, and community standpoint, because what he said to me when I was 10, I have actually found to be true for my entire life.
So there's a lot of wonderful charities. There's a lot of groups doing great things in St. Louis. What is it about the Urban League that makes it so impactful from your standpoint?
You know, I think in our case, we are very, very blessed by the fact that St. Louis is an extremely generous and charitable community. And so that's one of the things that propels and drives us to be the number one urban league in this country. We have tremendous support for everything that we do. And so when you look at the programs that we offer in terms of workforce, economic empowerment, food, clothing, shelter, housing, jobs, trying to develop communities that quite frankly haven't had development from an economic or housing standpoint, and provide people with resources, many people do some of the things that we do, but I have never seen any organization that does everything that we do. And so that, I think, is the unique secret sauce of the Urban League, is that it's this amazing one-stop shop, and it's this bridge that brings people together from all these different backgrounds and ideologies and ethnicities and socioeconomic groups and races and orientations to sit at a common table to try to want to do good and to try to make a difference and help our neighbors in need.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would think you only serve African-American communities or only serve, but it's really broader than that.
Of course.
It's a bigger picture than that, isn't it?
Yeah, no, 20 to 30% of our clients every single year are not African American. Okay. So when you look at our footprint in the inner city and also in the Metro East and in North County, and then people that come from all over the community to get resources that are not geographic specific, at any given moment, 50 or 60,000 of our clients are not African American.
Well, you were nice enough to have me and my team out to your headquarters on Kings Highway, and it was really a bit of a revelation for me. It helped me really understand what you're doing and why so much of it is just, it's necessary.
Every time you see a vacant lot that used to be someone's home probably, or it used to be someone's business. And so what has happened in inner city communities where you see all this decay and you see a lack of opportunity. So if you live in a low to moderate income community that doesn't have jobs, doesn't have economic resources, may have underperforming schools, does not have the ability for you to take care of yourself and your family with an immediate job or opportunity right there, and you don't have transportation, how do you then get out of that situation? Right. How do you get the mentor, the network, the relationship that all of us have benefited from in our careers to be able to have that hand up to give you that opportunity? So in many cases, success breeds success and failures breed failures. And so it's our job at the Urban League to try to bring people together, like Simmons Bank that you actually saw in the building, to remove predatory lending, give people the ability to be fully banked. Edward Jones that helps us to give people the opportunity to get financial education and all of the banks that work with us to do that. But then most importantly, daycare that is in the building, then the computer technology that is there with AT&T, and then the community empowerment that we have with Centene and the Panera Food Pantry and all these different entities in the building like Ameren, Weatherizing Homes, and on and on and on, all these different partners that we have there, Save Our Sons, to give you a job. Because literally the Urban League is proud of the fact that in inner city communities across this country, we have given more people jobs than any other organization in this country. Because ultimately, our goal is independence. If you're coming through the same food pantry for 10 or 15 years, that is not success.
Right.
Success is for you to be able to come here, find out what is an interest to you, try to match that interest with a good paying job with benefits and upward mobility so that you then can live the American dream, take care of yourself, take care of your family, and make things better for the next generation.
The other thing I think is worth pointing out that to me, there's a lot of commonality in these discussions with civic and business leaders about St. Louis, you know, what we do well, what we're struggling with, and, you know, public safety and issues like that. Well, they're clearly tied, and I'm not excusing bad behavior, and I'm not excusing someone who chooses a crime, but obviously there's a connection there with disadvantage upbringing and lack of opportunity. I mean, so the idea that there is a vested interest for everybody, even if you'll never be in that location, even if you'll never drive by that location, there's a lot riding on for our community to make this work.
Oh, absolutely. And quite frankly, when you talk about public safety and economic development and human development, we see them as all tied together. Like, people do not want to live in unsafe neighborhoods. They don't want to live in a city that is not thriving. They want to live in neighborhoods where their children can get a good education, that they can have jobs, stability, that they can leave their home and feel like nothing is going to happen to it, no matter where they live, and that they will have a home that will actually grow in value and that they'll be able to live the American dream. And so when you talk about public safety, literally, that's why we created a public safety division now going on 6 years ago and brought James Clark in to lead that. Right. Because, you know, bluntly, as you just mentioned, if people don't have opportunity and they don't have jobs and they don't have the ability to take care of themselves, sadly, they will do something that is probably going to get them on the news, and all of us will have to pay the price.
That's right.
And so our thought is that it's better for us to go into those neighborhoods, not run away from them. And so our public safety division runs into the fire and says, look, we don't want to abandon these neighborhoods, because what'll happen is it'll spread anyway.
Yeah.
It'll come to downtown. It'll come to Midtown. It'll come to the Central West End. It'll go to the county.
That's right.
And so it's not going to just stay in one area. So how do we then take our public safety department, run into the neighborhoods with the highest crime rates, provide them with resources and mentors and information about how they can improve their lives, because you can't just let the people who are doing no good be the only source of inspiration. This is an economic opportunity. Come join me in doing something that you should not do. We have to be there to try to provide them with the opportunity to do the right thing, to get a job, to take care of themselves, to be able to provide for their families and things of that nature.
Well, I know, look, I'm with the Post-Dispatch, and when sensational acts of violence happen, we're going to cover it, and it gets a lot of attention, and I think that's fair. I think we need to. I think sometimes what we might miss are the real wins out there, because that's a harder thing to cover.
Sure.
And that's why I wanted to kind of get your take on areas where you see, hey, we're doing this and we are getting benefits. So I think Save Our Sons is probably a pretty good example, and one maybe a lot of viewers don't know about. I've had the benefit of learning a little bit about it.
Yes.
Through Regional Business Council and other groups, but maybe a sentence or two on Save Our Sons and,
sure,
and what it does and why it's important.
So when you look at inner city populations of people that are unemployed, and in some cases people have written off as unemployable, that's usually young men that are 18 to 24 in inner city communities. But even 18 to 40 lack significant opportunity. So what we have done is to be able to hire a team that can go from the boardroom to the street and actually get these men and bring them into the Urban League and say, how do we remove every single barrier that you have that is keeping you from getting a job? What are your interests? What do you want to do in life? How can we match your interests with the right job and the right opportunity based on your skill set to give you some place that you can go earn a living? Because not earning a living is a drag on everyone's economy. And again, it sets up people to do things that, quite frankly, they shouldn't be doing. And then that is a drain on everyone's tax base in terms of all of the money that we spend on public safety. So they have not been able to take over 5,000 men that actually did not have a job, needed an opportunity, needed resources, needed information, needed our 4-week class on how to get a job, how to keep a job, how to remain marketable in the workforce, and how to get promoted, and be able to give them the suits, the shirts, the ties, the shoes, the belts, and the resources to go on the application to get their resume in order, to get their interviewing skills in order, and then to get their ability to then get additional certifications and training, take them into our housing department, make sure that they have stable housing, and then we're actually able to provide additional resources through a grant from Enterprise Bank to actually help give them a down payment on their car. So that transportation that is a huge barrier for a lot of our clients is no longer an issue.
So let me ask you, as a St. Louisan, as a lifetime St. Louisan, what are we as a region, what are we doing well that we should say, hey, maybe we do more of that, and maybe we should let people know how well we're doing and not to be cynical about it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a native St. Louisan, I totally agree. Going to other cities and looking at those communities and hearing how people talk about their city, and then sometimes how we as St. Yeah. Louisans talk yeah. about St. Louis, we definitely beat ourselves up too much, and we need a constant effort through the Post-Dispatch and all of our channels on, you know, the local news and every single media outlet and even podcast and YouTubers and everybody else that is out there with a platform to talk about the good things, right? Because like you said, people are going to talk about crime. They're going to talk about negatives. They're going to talk about squabbles in government, but there has to be a balance. So when you look at the cultural institutions that we have in St. Louis, I mean, they are phenomenal for a region of 3 million people. When you talk about what we have done when the inner city medium core here between the downtown community, and you look at Cortex in the area between Washoe and SLU and the rest, and how that has evolved. When you look at what we have done with NGA, when you look at all these successes, what I think we should do is build off of those successes and build out. You know, let that development be a core anchor that we then use to keep moving development north into North St. Louis and into South St. Louis to provide more and more stability.
All right, we're going to make you king for a day. Yeah, you said you liked your view. You liked your office.
It's amazing.
So you're king for a day.
Yeah.
What would you want to see, whether it's from the business community, our political leaders, what would you prioritize and what would you like to see them do quickly?
You know, I think that what we've talked about doing with downtown from a business standpoint makes good sense. What we're talking about doing in some of the North City development makes sense to invest in areas that have missed the opportunity and not had resources over a course of time. We definitely need to come together and prioritize working on education, because if we do not have an educated workforce going forward, we will not be a great city. That is definitely something I think everybody can agree on. The question then becomes, how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do we become civically engaged? You know, I think that organizations like the Urban League, United Way, and so many others that have been successful work with RBC and GSL. So if I was king for a day, I would continue to try to pour resources into things that work, not just get excited about the next shiny thing in St. Louis or the next shiny project, but deal with the things that are causing us issues. We know that public safety is an issue. So we know we need to support all of the things that are going on from a governmental standpoint, but also support organizations like the Urban League that are here, that are going into the community to proactively try to stop some things before they happen. And so that there are multiple approaches to how to deal with public safety, how to deal with resources, and quite frankly, job and job training. That is a huge thing for us because, like I said, we firmly believe is our number one and core fundamental program, period. If we can get you a good job, you will not end up on the news committing any type of crime or doing something that's going to get you in trouble. So we want to give people the ability to take care of themselves and their families through economic opportunity, supporting these things that have a proven track record of working and putting significant resources in them to bring them to scale. Because the biggest issue that we have here, in my opinion, is that they're not at scale. The programs that all of us have that are doing this good work, they're not at the level that they need to be supported to deal with the enormity of the problem and all the people that, quite frankly, need the help.
Are there too many competing visions, do you think?
Well, I think that the other thing, bluntly, that we do not do well at all in the not-for-profit community is merge and work together. There are, quite frankly, too many not-for-profits that are doing the same thing. And that is something that, you know, is a problem all over this country.
Yeah.
It's definitely a problem here. At one point, I was told that we had over 17,200 incorporated not-for-profits in St. Louis and in this entire region. And there may be, you know, 10,000 too many. Because the truth is, if we're doing something meaningful, support those things that have a track record of success and they are not centered around an individual or someone because they had a great idea. I applaud those. The reason why I love the Urban League so much is that it will exist when I am gone. It is not the Michael McMillan Charitable Foundation. It is part of a national organization with an amazing board, amazing donors, amazing partners, and amazing staff and leadership to be able to continue on no matter who is the president, who's the board chair, who's on the board. You need to support organizations and entities like us and United Way and RBC and GSL that will continue on no matter who is in office, no matter if we're Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, etc. We'll all be here together to try to make a difference.
Sounds like the antidote to cynicism, if you ask me.
Yes.
Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
thank
it. Fascinating. Appreciate the work you and your organization do.
Thank you.